The economy has got both structural and policy matrix that need to be addressed. In the first instance, we need to restore confidence in the economy, both nationally and internationally, which means that we need to address the perceptions that are created by ZANU-PF's policy. Today there is indigenization, tomorrow they are flip-flopping to try to revise it. They've been on the structural adjustment program, which is called the staff monitoring program. Some ministers are accusing other ministers of betraying the people. Chinamasa is alone, is being accused by Chihuahua and Changwa on there. So that kind of conflict in cabinet, as far as policy is concerned, causes confusion and undermines the very same basis of confidence in the economy. One of the critical things that is important is, of course, political and economic reform. We need to demonstrate to the outside world that we are a country that is committed to the rule of law, free election, stability. That way, we'll restore that confidence. Of course, there are other fundamental issues that need to be followed. We need to look at our infrastructure, which has not been rehabilitated for a long time. Energy, railways, roads, all those things are very important to restore market confidence. Besides, we need to recapitalize our manufacturing industry. We need to restore our mining production, our agricultural production. So there are a number of policy innovations that are necessary to restore market confidence in the economy.
But ZANU-PF for years has been blaming sanctions for this economic meltdown. What is your take on that?
I don't believe even ZANU-PF believes in that rhetoric, because this country has never been prevented from exporting. We have traded with Europe, we have traded with anyone without any restrictions. Yes, there may have been some effects on the sanctions regime, but those effects are not the causes of policy failures and lack of confidence. It is an excuse which does not hold water in terms of government failure.
But in terms of economic blueprints, what is the MDC offering to revive the economy?
Well, this is what I said earlier. You need economic political reforms. You need to restore policy consistency and the predictability. You need to ensure that your productive sectors are producing, your agriculture, your mining, your industry, and all that. You need to make sure that you have rehabilitated your infrastructure, your railways, your roads, all that. Those are the contributing factors. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not even a question of abracadabra and then everything will be okay tomorrow. No, it actually needs consistency and to give the confidence nationally and internationally.
And what is your take on Mr. Mugabe remaining at the helm? Can this be related to the ailing economy as well?
Well, leadership is important. President Mugabe has presided over this economic decline over the last 35 years. I don't think his age is any benefit in building confidence in the economy. Without new blood, without new thinking, it will still be hope as usual. So yes, the continued leadership role of President Mugabe has a direct impact in which government policy is formulated.
And of course, ZANU-PF is your rival, but are you at all shocked by the level of factionalism in the party, in the ruling party?
Well, it's self-destructive. Divisiveness, it's unprecedented. We have never witnessed this. It's almost like the defender is not holding. All political organizations have a tendency to factionalize and tendency to disagree, but not to the extent of self-destructive postures that we see in ZANU-PF. At the moment, with such economic and social political crisis we face, you can't expect a lack of cohesion on policy from a group which is at each other's throat. That is the danger we face. We face an unfolding chaos being spearheaded within the ruling party. And that, to me, is, yes, a ruling party must be able to show that it can provide stability. But when it is at the forefront of providing chaos, then we are all affected.
Is there a possible political solution to Zimbabwe's crisis?
The political solution, first of all, has to arrive in the political will of the political leadership, especially those are in the ruling seat. They can demonstrate that by making sure that you engage all the political forces in the country through dialogue and have an inclusive approach rather than an exclusive approach to the crisis we face, and to show genuine desire that the people of Zimbabwe can come together and address the critical political questions that we face. But as long as ZANU-PF is selfish and believes that it is the solution, wants to exclude the rest of society, then it's a self-destructive path they are following.
There were reports in the past months that maybe there were possible talks between the parties that have representatives in parliament. How far true is that?
Well, if there were, I'm sure that it remains rumors because it never materialized. It never materialized to any significant discussion. So it is still a speculative story.
And are there any talks with other political parties with the intention of forming a coalition, say, with Amai Mujuru?
Well, I've often said that the position of the MDC is that engaging in the talks is not the same as negotiation. Obviously, as political parties, people talk across the political divide. People are searching for the way forward. But unfortunately, the dual camp, as it is known, the people first, has not concretized what they want to do. So until that time, they are building institutions. I think the MDC will be reluctant to engage with individuals rather than with institutions. So I'm sure they're working on that. I'm sure they're working on the constitution, they're working on building a party. And it is at that stage that, like all the other parties we are trying to group under the National Convention, they will play a part. We don't discriminate against anyone who wants to play a part. And so I'm sure that there will be a basis of finding common positions on conditions of governance that we all think are best for the country.
There have also been media reports about factionalism in the MDC. What is really happening? Are they people who are planning to topple Mr. Tsvangirai before the Congress?
What Congress? We just come out of the Congress a year ago. What Congress are people talking about? We are not in existence for the purpose of having Congress. We are in the purpose to ensure that the NPF is defeated in the next election. As far as I am concerned, the MDC is focused for 2018, and any strategy that is going to offer conditions for free and fair elections, we work with those people. That's why we launched the campaign for without reforms, no elections. Now, as I said, every party has got its own internal debate. Sometimes people disagree, but generally there is stability in the MDC, and I don't see any so-called crisis emerging as a result of speculation. The fact that this crisis in ZANU-PF does not equalize with the MDC, surely.
And talking about no election, no reform, your critics are saying it appears there is no plan B because we are getting close to 2018, but there is no significant change in terms of electoral reforms.
So far, there have been movements in the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, and we continue pushing until all the reforms are implemented. We are mobilizing, we are regrouping with other opposition parties so that we can create conditions. It's only 2.5 years to go. And so one cannot prejudge what will happen to the election 2 years down the line when, in fact, the campaign is just started 6 months ago.